the Madhav Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Balava Girivara Dari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Balava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nanana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nanana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Jamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Balava Girivara Dari. Yashoda Nanana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nanana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha Shama Sundara Radha, Shama Sundara Radhe. Jaya Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Jaya Gaura Nitai. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Paramahansa Paravachakacharya Arasatatada Sri Srimati of Divine Grace. Chananda Sri Adwaita Gadadhar Shivasada Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. All glorious assembled devotees. All glorious assembled devotees. Glorious assembled devotees. Glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Okay. We should leave a marker in here. Now I gotta find it. Chapter 24. What's the number of the chapter? Chapter what? 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading in the chapter Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura, text 13. Rajak Pradhanan Mahatas Trilingo Daivachoditat Jatak Sasar Jabutadi Vidya Adini Panchasaha Raja Pradhanan Mahatas Trilingo Daivachoditat Jatak Sasar Jabutadi Vidya Adini Panchasaha. Please chant. Trilingo Daivachodita Jataksasara Jabutadi Vyadadi Pachasaha Vyadadi Pachasaha Raja Pradhanat, in which the element of rajas or passion predominates. Mahataha, from the Mahatattva, Trilinga, of three kinds, Daiva Choditat, impelled by superior authority, Jataha, was born, Sasarja, evolved, Bhutadi, the false ego, origin of the material elements. Vidyat, the ether. Adini, beginning with Panchachasaha. Translation, purport by Srila Prabhupada. As impelled by the destiny of the jiva, the false ego, which is of three kinds, evolved from the Mahatattva, in which the element of rajas predominates. From the ego, in turn, evolved many groups of five principles. Purport. The primordial matter or prakriti, material nature, consisting of three modes, generates four groups of five. The first group is called elementary and consists of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. The second group of five is called Tanmatra, referring to the subtle elements, sense objects, sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. The third group is the five sense organs for acquiring knowledge, ears, eyes, nose, tongue, and skin. The fourth group is the five working senses, speech, hands, feet, anus, and genitals. Some say that there are five groups of five. One group is the sense objects, one is five elements, one is the five sense organs for acquiring knowledge, another is the senses for working, and the fifth group is the five deities who control these divisions. So, interesting topic, a little bit of a science class today. But most interesting is why this all happened. Many of us in our working groups, or even within our families, or maybe in groups that we have doing service together, will find that some people have an attitude. And we try to help them in saying that, you know, that it's not very becoming to have an attitude. And it also can be very damaging to yourself and to other people. I worked in the jail for a while, and most of the people there, they didn't have good advice, I guess, and their attitude got them in jail, and they really had a heavy attitude, very, very difficult. But they were able to, they had some managing groups. The government facility is there for people that do have this attitude that gives them very bad behavior and ultimately gets them into trouble. So in the same way, Krishna, and when he has a sense of that she can actually find out that many of us have attitudes when we're in the spiritual world. Actually, a quarter of the people end up here in the material world. He sees that the attitude is that we just don't want to serve him anymore. We want to be served. It's a very selfish attitude, very unbecoming, and it's gotten us in a lot of trouble. And here we are, rebellious souls. And Krishna had to go through this whole process that's being described here. He tries to correct ourselves from this attitude of being the only enjoyer, whereas really we're just his loving parts and parcels. He spent his energy in producing us for his enjoyment, and in turn we enjoy. It's a good deal, but we somehow or other reject it. And impelled, this impelling destiny of having to come here. And so Krishna has to generate all this material prakriti. And so he takes the course of the creation as a facility for the renegades, ourselves, to begin to try to give them a chance to reform themselves. The jails are now called correctional institutes, so this jail here is also an attempt to correct our attitude so that we can go back to loving and serving him. And so his prakriti creates this breeding ground. He puts in there these modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. You can't really, you know, box him or anything, but somehow or other he spreads it throughout this energy. And out of this breeding ground comes this false ego, which is an intense thing. From then for this false ego to exist, all these other things have to be there. The senses, to see things, to bring it in, to react with them, to manipulate them. The whole material energy gets going just by these modes of nature. We can see within ourselves. Sometimes we wake up in a bad mood, you know. We just don't have it together. We can't, you know, really function properly sometimes. And there's other times when we might want to tell somebody something, and someone will say, "Oh, don't bring it up today. She's not in a good mood. Not today." So they're very, very influential, these modes, although we don't really see them so much, but we do feel them, and we do get a reaction if we are impelled to follow them. So this is something that we see that it's not just blunt, you know, goodness, passion, ignorance, but there's a combination. So there's unlimited combinations that we can try to deal with. And this is what, when we begin the struggle of existence, is when we have to deal with all these different senses and groups of and principles of life. And so we start our life of conditional life. We have restrictions. We think we're coming here to enjoy, but then we are limited, and we're controlled by these material modes. Satya Yuga was a place where it was primarily goodness. People lived a very long time, so they weren't in a rush. No reason to rush around. You know, take your time. You're going to live thousands of years. You might as well just cool it, you know, and just not in a hurry. Like here, you know, we're always in the fast lane, but there, they're in the slow lane. Things go slower there. And they have some ability to meditate. They've got plenty of time to meditate. And they're more conscious of the importance to become self-realized. Varnashram probably flourished at that time, and everyone was helping each other advance up towards this self-realization, which was achieved by many people in the Satya Yuga. But, you know, flip the pages, a couple of yugas, and here we are in Kali Yuga, where definitely the rajas is pervading our lives. We're always in a hurry. There was that one song that said, we're always in a hurry, but we don't know where we're going, but we're always in a hurry to get there. And then we also don't have the ability to sit very long and to listen. Our concentration is minimal. And we, because of our exploitive mood of wanting to take everything for ourselves, we've gotten ourselves in trouble with these groups, this one group of earth, fire, air, water. We've destroyed most of those basic elements, and now we're getting retaliation. We see so many things going on in nature that are just outrageous. Krishna's upset, Mother Earth is upset. So we're getting that element also, which is disturbing our lives. So pretty much we sacrifice our good values to try to rectify the situation that is going downhill. So our technology is trying to figure out how to make it better. Yes, yes. And what we do is we make it worse. And we sacrifice our values, like nice family life, getting together and having groups, all working, community life, things like that. Gone. And what's really gone is our interest for self-realization. Very hard on the streets. You know, how many people are you talking a day are interested in learning about self-realization? Not so many. So this is a problem. And what happens is that our ego is just carrying us from one body to another, to another, to another. So Krishna is setting a whole backdrop here in the material world, so with all these different groups, so that our interaction with them is so intense that we get more and more covered, and our search for satisfaction gets more difficult all the time. And unless we have our phone with us, we can't find any satisfaction in life anymore. And the senses are very, very strong. Very difficult to control them. And the advertising business is making them more agitated. And our pursuit for satisfaction just leads us into more illusion. And we're gone, pretty much doomed. And plus, we have to deal with the subtle energy. The mind and intelligence is there. And it's trying to sort out what's good to do and what's bad to do. What's good for my sense enjoyment, what's bad for my sense enjoyment. And, of course, the selfishness and envy and greed that within ourselves prevails. And so we're pretty much existing here in the material world, again, lifetime after lifetime, not being satisfied. And we are given some really nice costumes also, along with the props. We're given different bodies. which is their unlimited unlimited types of bodies we can have. But in a human form, we have the opportunity to change the whole program. And that's if we sharpen our intelligence by listening to this knowledge of transcendental knowledge. We can learn how not to be, how to live here, but not get entangled in it and not have to suffer so much. So that means that we have to accept some purification process, which Krishna is very kind. He doesn't like to see us suffer so much, although we do need a good spank on the rear end sometimes to get us back to that attitude. But he helps us, and he gives us a purification process that is just perfect for this age of darkness. And Lord Chaitanya has given us this Sangatam movement. And of course, it requires some discipline. It's not free of charge, really. We have to learn how to go inward. So therefore, we have to learn how to control these bundles of senses and how to behave properly. So we accept some restrictions. Not so difficult, really, but we have to really understand that these senses are like wild horses and you have to rein them in. I see that Jai Nitai is trying to keep training these oxen over here, and boy, do they have attitudes. Whew. Madhva is just impossible, you know, and then Ram is just, you can tell by his eyes that when he first came here, the very first time he came here, he just had an attitude, you know. I just, don't, you're not going to bother me. But anyway, it's difficult to rein in these animals, these senses that we have. But by, you know, constant work, recently he went to a conference in Hungary, and he learned that you have to do it every day, you have to train every day. So by accepting these instructions by Srila Prabhupada of daily attending the classes, gradually our senses can cooperate a little bit, so we can go inside and go a little deeper every year, hopefully. And we have to also use these senses in Krishna's service. We, you know, we don't want a devil's workshop. We need to keep busy in serving Krishna and putting him in that fire of devotion. And of course, we have to realize that we have to have a shelter around us, and that is a very strong sadhana in association with devotees. If not, if we're not serious, then we can stand on the sidelines, watch everyone else advance, and woe is me, oh, I'm so fallen. But we should try to go forward and realize that these four elements, these principles and everything, it's in the material world is surrounding us, even as devotees. We're not exempt from it. So what to do with it all? Besides in devotional service, we still have to deal with the mind and everything. So there's different strokes for different folks. There's a story of one Brahmin. His name was Bilamangal Thakur. And he was raised very nicely, had a very nice upbringing. But one day he saw some couple engaging in sensual activities, and this agitated him, and he fell down and was allured to engage in illicit sex, and he became very attracted to it. But one time he was with one prostitute, and she said, "You know, you were really enthusiastic. You didn't even go to your father's wedding, and you're coming here in the rain, and you're climbing up walls, and you're doing this. You're crazy for me." He goes, "If you were this enthusiastic for Krishna, you'd be in ecstasy. You would be wonderful, a wonderful person. You'd have the greatest satisfaction." And so he kind of took that. He took him aback, and he goes, "Yeah." And so he took off, and he did meditation, and he got it all together. And then one day again, he saw some woman was attracted, because the senses are that strong. Even when one becomes very fixed up for a long time, just one little slip up and you're gone. The senses carry you away and have you do things you really don't want to do. You know, you shouldn't. So he recognized this, and when he went to follow her home and ask her husband, says, I have a strange request, but I would really like to be with your wife. And he was like, whoa, I guess you're my guest. I have to do what you say. And so he went in there, and he realized that this is crazy. And he realized that his eyes were the enemy of being attracted. So he asked for her hairpins and plucked out his eyes. And this was his process. Don't try this at home. But this is his way to control his senses and to reach his perfection, which he did. I have a beautiful painting of Suradas, they also call him, Bhakta Suradas, sitting there and playing his little ektar, and his eyes are shut, of course, and he's quite old, and big smile on his face, singing the glories of Krishna, and little Krishna's come to see him. It's probably the best play in ISKCON, is that play. It hasn't been done here in a long time. Our girls in the ashram used to do it, and did it so expertly, but he's wandering around Vrindavan trying to find Krishna. He can't see, and where am I? Oh, and the little boy comes up and goes, where am I? I'm looking for Vrindavan. This is Vrindavan. He goes, well, really? Well, explain what it's like. He goes, it's a bunch of trees. A bunch of trees? These are wish-fulfilling trees. And he goes on and becomes very attracted to this little boy who was bringing him milk every day. And finally, his heart becomes so attached to this boy that when he doesn't show up one day, he has a heart attack. And then Krishna comes and massages his heart. And then he begins to talk to him and say that, who are you? Who's your mother? Who's your father? How long have you lived here? And finally, he realizes that this is Krishna, that who he's been looking for so long. And actually, Krishna has come to him because of his attraction of his love. So this is one method. And then there's Thakur Bhakti, Haridas Thakur, that he was able to help one prostitute who was sent to allure him away just by his chanting and by his sincere desire to help her. And through the association of this pure devotee and the pure chanting of Haridas Thakur, she was able to give up her sinful ways. So this was a special way to deal with it and to control the senses, just by the mercy of his chanting in the holy name. And then Srila Prabhupada, he came here to the West and saw the attachment that we had and the rajas that we had. We had our zoomies, going around here and here, doing this, doing that. And so he said, here, Prasada, now you got these zoomies, go out on the street and just give out books and distribute prasadam and chant and dance, run around. And we did. 10 hours a day, we got nodes on our throat. We got, a grease border from the streets on our saris, and we got calluses on our hand from playing mardanga. But that was what it took to help control our senses, to engage them. And then he saw that, you need more, deity worship, Christmas marathon. And constantly we're being engaged. And more we see that we can enter a little bit into the mode of goodness, which is so favorable for devotional service. And then we have the help of previous acharyas even, their bhajans, their writings. They're so helpful to soothe our soul and to use our senses and to become more faithful and more devotional just by hearing these. So it's such a benediction that we have. And of course, Krishna helps by being time. As time, as we get older, we see that the senses become a little less usable. They malfunction a lot more, and it's more difficult to control. And sometimes we forget that, can't do that anymore, The bucket list, have to wipe out a few things, not even possible. So it's painful. I mean, old age is humbling, and it gets rid of some of the false ego. All these processes smash the false ego, and that's painful because that's who we think we are. But the bliss of understanding who we really are, the real ego, that pleasure that will prevail and keep us moving on this path of self-realization and becoming more connected to Krishna all the time. So of these three modes, it's described here that this rajas is predominant. It reigns on the top of all. It's easy, the mode of goodness, to create things. I love to create things. Everybody loves to create things, build this, do that, do this. But then you have to think, okay, now I have to maintain it. And that's the mode of goodness, said that Vishnu. And then, so this is a difficult thing. Rajas is easy. We've got, you know, the expressions, go for it, go, we can do it, you know, we got it together, let's do it, we have this. But to find people to help maintain, very difficult. Got to pay a lot of people just to maintain this temple, because no one really likes to do that. Because it requires a lot of patience and requires, you know, some perseverance and some determination to keep things up. And then there's ignorance. Ignorance is, of course, represented by sleep, which Papa said is good as death, and intoxication, sinful life. And this is a poison that just kills the desire for self-realization. And then we miss out on the opportunity to of this human form of life. This is a song. It's Srila Prabhupada's favorite song. I was with Jamuna one time, and she confirmed that this was his favorite song, Hari Hari Bipale. It's a prayer to one's beloved Lord. And the first couple verses I'll read. O Lord Hari, I've spent my life uselessly, having obtained a human birth and having not worshipped Radha and Krishna. I have knowingly drunk poison. So to remain in this darkness of ignorance, you know, and not take to Krishna consciousness, might as well just, you know, drink poison. The treasure of divine love in Goloka Vrindavan has descended as a congregational chanting of Lord Hari's holy names. Why did my attraction for that chanting never come about? Day and night, my heart burns in the fire of the poison of worldliness, and I have not taken the means for relieving it. So this is what Krishna has arranged for us, to get burned and to get pinched and to get miserable. But then if the opportunity comes to hear the holy name and to take the Krishna consciousness seriously, if we don't take it, we might as well just understand that we're poisoning ourselves. So this is a nice remembrance in singing this song. So we shouldn't pass up the chance to engage in more and more service all the time. And to take help from other devotees and a good association. There's the story of Maharaj Bharat, who was the king of the world, but he conquered this, a lot of the passion that it takes, and he was in the mode of goodness, and he was able to leave his attachments and engage in some, you know, meditation and some concentration and make some advancement in spiritual life, so much so that he was really had some love for Krishna. But he was alone, and he didn't take the help of others, living in a community like ISKCON, and different ashrams that are available, and he fell down. So we see that the importance of being in association of devotees. Even Lord Brahma, who we are going to hear about, he's born in darkness, but he took the help of hearing the message by Krishna saying to do tapasya, and so he did, and received the knowledge directly from Krishna. So if we stay in the association of devotees, get so much knowledge from Srila Prabhupada by pleasing him, that it will be revealed within our hearts in time. When I was reading this verse, I could kind of step back and see more of that, of the picture of where we stand in this whole creation. That it's actually kind of frightening to see that we were so rebellious, that we had so many and multiple offenses that we committed against Krishna, that we were actually very offensive to Krishna to think that we didn't need him, that we didn't want him, and to think that we could be better than him. I mean, that's pretty offensive. And so when you stand back and see that, you can see that within ourselves we still have some selfish desires, we still have envy, we have these bad attributes that, especially being disobedient, you know, it's very difficult for us to get over that. And Krishna was so kind, he made us so that we could have a nice relationship, but we thought we could do better. No, I can come here to the material world and have so many relationships. And here's Krishna is giving us that opportunity. He's giving us the senses. We can take in so many things. We can have working senses. We can do so many things and manipulate and engage in different things. But we're never satisfied. And we have to realize that we have to beg for Krishna, especially in our japa. It's a time for begging Krishna to please accept us back. We were so offensive, but we have to get into that mood of actually when we're chanting that I don't deserve, you know, but can you somehow or other accept a little bit of what I'm trying to do, you know, try to serve Srila Prabhupada. It reminded me of what it's like when you're, a long time ago they used to have an apprenticeship where you'd go and you'd ask somebody to please give you all this knowledge that they have to actually teach you their skills. And you wouldn't pay any, you know, you wouldn't pay anything. They wouldn't pay you, but you would serve them. And then they would give you like a little project, like in carpentry. I've had boys come to my workshop and I give them, you know, they say, can I help you? And I go, oh, no, this is mahogany wood, and I'm doing all this precise stuff. But here, you can take this wood, this cheaper wood, and you can make something. You can pretend, and I'll show you the art of how to do it. And you learn that way. And this is an important understanding that we need the help, and we need to be submissive, and we need to realize that we're just pretending right now. We're not really doing devotional service, with pure devotional service, although Srila Prabhupada is helping to create that mood for us and to offer it to Krishna. But we're just pretending we're apprenticeship, and we have to pray that we can remain in that nice attitude of please, just engage me in your transcendental love service. Please accept me again. And so this is something that I realized just by coming back and seeing this whole business of creation that Krishna's having to do, and to realize of how involved we are with the material modes. But devotees have the art of being able to see the temporary nature of this material world and realize that, oh, I'm going in this direction. The modes are getting me. I need to become more transcendental. And therefore, we chant the holy name, take shelter of reading more, or maybe eating different things, or seeing what we need to do to adjust to remain above these modes that are always trying to attract us and to attack us and to kill our devotion. So this is a few of those thoughts and realizations. Anybody like to add or have a question? Anyone had success in their attempt to conquer these modes of material energy and can give us some advice? Some success stories?
No advice and no success stories, but when you mention that word attitude, and I think, okay, this attitude, another word for it is pride, kind of, but pride doesn't have the same effect when we hear it. I have some pride, but an attitude is even worse for some reason. It's just,
and it can spread.
Huh?
It really spreads too. It can spread to other people. If you have a bad attitude, yeah. Isn't that saying about a
one rotten apple or one rotten potato in a bag. All of a sudden, I mean, I lived in an ashram scene for 26 years, and you get one, yeah, one attitude in there, and before you know it, the whole ashram is,
yeah,
you know.
And then I think the opposite is a service mood, at least. I mean, a humility, but it is so prominent. It's taking lifetimes, you know, to shake this attitude off. And
we can, a bhakti attitude is wanted. And it's so nice that when some devotees come in and just, how can I serve? Anything, just tell me what to do, you know. So this is what we're striving for. Yeah, lifetimes we've been dealing with it. And as it's said that right now the world is in a very fast mode and it's heading the wrong direction. So Prabhupada really wanted us to have mode of goodness, places of shelter that people could come and see that how nice it is, how ideal it is to have that service attitude. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna, I have a question. I'm so sorry. My question is related to the modes and service attitude. So you mentioned, like, at the beginning, when Srila Prabhupada first came, there was this very, like, a passionate mood, right? Engage the senses in doing so much and building this army and, like, growing this movement. And what I understand of the modes, it's almost like these three primary colors. There's an endless combination. So when we're born with these bodies, they somehow come with a particular combination throughout our life from day to day. Like, these are constantly changing. And so I'm very... I'm very curious. Can some of us be more inclined towards not so much action? Like, can we be more inclined to reading more?
I see that the children and in the schools, you know, the third generation, Prabhupada said, was going to take some time. But the third generation would be more pure. And so they're born into an atmosphere where they definitely have some nice association and see, you know, their heroes become people that are more together and not so passionate. So I think in time, within our society, we'll see the advancement. I think they'll be more inclined. Prabhupada did say the third generation. So yes, we were pretty wild people, and so yeah, there's hope. But and we have to see what we're doing now. You know, if we don't make it back to the spiritual world, the Bhagavad Gita says that we'll be born in a rich family and we'll have what we need and for devotional service. So it's not hopeless. But some of our natures are more passionate, and therefore we have to keep busy all day. So we dovetail it.
There seems to be a culture in Islam that really elevates this sort of mood of being very, very active in service for Krishna, which to me feels very passionate. And I realize I'm not so passionate like that. And sometimes it feels like a big fault of mine. So I kind of wonder, I'm really sorry about that. I kind of wonder sometimes, do I need to cultivate that more and become very active, even though it feels very wrong to my nervous system and my body?
Well, this is...
Or embrace, like, something else. Like, how do I...
Yeah, I know that Prabhupada said in regards to the Guru Kula system that we should see people's nature not everyone is going to be that kind of person. So he, in regards to Varnashram, he said that you see some people, that some of the boys, and they're just not heady like that, you know, don't want to study, then put them out to the fields, you know. So there are different natures, and that's the advantage of Varnashram. Within our society now, we do have many facilities for those who are less prone to be just doing things. There's so many study groups, and there's, you know, different institutions that are encouraging people, yes, just like the Bhaktivedanta Institute. You know, they're right on as far as, you know, studying and in that, in a different mode. So you just have to rub shoulders with those kind of people, the kind of people that you want. But artificially, it can be, it's not good to think that I have to be one of those persons. No, you're who you are, and you probably can see from your birth how you, that influenced you. I know I can see from my birth, my surroundings. So, you know, pick your surroundings, be comfortable. Don't artificially try to do something else. Jai Shri Baba Ki Jai.